Welcome back, and welcome to those of you that this may be your first time. If it is your first time, you should go back to the last podcast because this is, you'll be out of sequence. Welcome to Be You, The World Will Adjust. Yeah, this is the second part of how to create your own infomercial. First part, just as a reminder, was about figuring out what people should pay you for. And each part is equally important in my mind. The four parts being, as a reminder, what people should pay you for, what kind of people do I work best with, how do I resolve conflict, and what's the perfect day. So you sort of say to yourself, and I'd never really thought about this in my life, you know, I work with the people I work with, and like, I go to this firm, and there's these people, and I go to this firm, and there's those people, and, you know, it's really, what kind of choice do I have about the people I work with, and they're just happen to be there, and, you know, throughout a lifetime of summer jobs and stuff like that, it is what it is. And I think that that's probably the prevalent thought of most people, but since at the end of the day we do choose to where we go to work, it's good to do a little more understanding in the same manner as understanding what people should pay you for, understanding what kind of people do you work best with. So in my particular case, what I found when I reflected back over my lifetime of jobs that I've had, including summer jobs or full-time jobs and any kind of jobs, I work best with people that don't actually know what they want to get done. They kind of have a general idea that there's a problem there. I'm not a disaster recovery guy like my friend Richard Nesbitt, because I'm not a financial guy. But in terms of strategically, execution, people, and if you think about the brain as having three parts, the first part is you know what you know, and the second part is you know what you don't know, and then the third part is you don't know what you don't know, I tend to practice my trade in the don't know what you don't know section. That's where people can really utilize what they pay me for, is my ability to help them get from that section to now they know what they don't know on the way to knowing what they know. And, you know, it's funny because I think back to, I grew up in the restaurant business, as I've said before, with my family. One summer we had a bit of a spat and I decided to go off and get a job for myself. And a friend of mine was the parts manager at some air conditioning company, commercial air conditioning company. He said to me, you know, they've got all these rental units that they'd like to rent, and they only rent out like 20 of them a year. And, you know, it was in Ottawa, hot summers, and they think they can do better, but they don't actually know how to do better. And so I went in and I interviewed for the job. I think it was first or second year university, and interviewed for the job, and I met the owner of the company. And he said, yeah, we're not really in the rental business, but, you know, it's a little bit of extra cash and everything else. And he said, so, you know, we kind of wait for people to call us if they find us in the yellow pages or long before Google. And so I sort of thought about it, and I said, well, can I come back to you tomorrow and think about it? And he said, yeah, sure. And so I went home, I wrote with my buddy Barry Phillipson and a couple of other people. And I said, you know, we should do this for a summer job. I said, we could probably really kill it. We could get paid on commission, and, you know, we could kind of structure our own hours and do that. And so I went back to him and I said, here's the plan. I think we should work from 4 o'clock until 9 or 10 o'clock every night. We'll need a truck, and we'll need some promotional material. In those days in Ottawa, it kind of looked like Toronto because there are apartment buildings everywhere because of all the government people, massive rental city. And I said, we're going to drop all these flyers off in all the apartments. And then when people phone in, I said, nobody's having their air conditioners put in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So, you know, we need to be able to go to them when they're available. And so he sort of went, well, you know, I don't know. And I said, well, I tell you what, we're all happy to work on commission. And of course, the minute I said that, you know, he thought, well, there's no downside. Foolish. There was no downside, but except for the fact that we were going to knock it out of the park. So we had to make all the flyers. We went to like, I don't know, 50 or 75 apartment buildings, and the phone started ringing off the hook. In fact, we had to get someone just to answer the phone calls long before email or text. And people were coming in. The first question they'd always say is, can you come in at the end of the day? Can you come at 5 o'clock? Can you come at 7 o'clock? Can you come at 8 o'clock? So anyways, they went, I think, from, don't test my memory, doing somewhere around 25 to 50 air conditioners in the summer to probably over 300 at the end of the day. Just like we just knocked it out of the park, right? And there's nothing, you know, there's nothing better than when people are sweating and they got to have an air conditioning. They are not price sensitive. So anyways, we knocked it out of the park. We basically got to hang out all day. We'd go out at night, we would party, we'd enjoy ourselves, we could sleep until like 11 o'clock in the morning. It was perfection personified. And then we'd kind of roll out there, and we kept the truck, and we'd roll out there, load up the truck with air conditioners, and head to the apartment buildings and schedule ourselves so we'd have 8 units, 10 units in one apartment building. But I hadn't appreciated how my role in that was not selling the air conditioner, summer air conditioners. My role in that was seeing something that they couldn't see. And I later learned in life that that was a skill that I had, and it goes back to my saying, constantly asking myself the question, why can't we do it this way? Why can't we do it that way? Which can be quite irritating to most people. And so I recognized that people I work best with are people that don't know what they don't know. And the second thing I realized when I look back over my history is I worked best with people that had one fundamental quality. They trusted people. And you may think that that's like, well, everybody trusts, but people don't trust, right? People fundamentally don't trust. And when you work for someone that doesn't trust, they always question everything you do. They always wonder why you're doing it, how you're doing it. And so for me, when I looked at the people I was most successful, they had 100% unequivocal, unconditional trust in me. They didn't need to see me, show them the process. They trusted that I would get the job done. You know, some people say the ends justifies the means, but they just trusted that the job would get done. The third thing I realized is people I work best with are people that give me a lot of bandwidth, a lot of space, recognizing that I am going to do it differently, not the same as process that someone else may have, which has led to no results, that the fact that I am different is what leads me to get the results. So it was really important for me at the time when I was looking for a job to be able to articulate that to people, right? And you know, as I said in sharing the infomercial, I would share that conversation with people. And I'd say, you know, like I need to work with people that aspire to something, that want to build something, want to fix something, want to grow something. And they have to be willing and able to sort of acknowledge that they don't know what they don't know, and that I'm the person that's going to go out and educate them about it and then get them to the next place. I do not work well with, and this is the yang that we talk about, micromanagers. I do not work well with people that think it's not only important for them to have me do the work, but that I do the work the way they want it done. And I especially do not work well with people that say, this is what I want to do. I need you to go and execute it for me. Because I will tell you that I will challenge, I will question, I will suggest, I will do everything. And those people are not interested in anybody's opinion but their own. And I don't judge them for that. They're entitled to that. But I'm the wrong person for those people. They need someone who will blindly drive the Cadillac right over the cliff if they say drive the Cadillac over the cliff. They need foot soldiers who are never going to question their commands. And there are lots of people like that, and they would be perfectly happy because those people don't want to have to think about it. And as I've come to appreciate over time, it's not good or bad, right or wrong. We are who we are, And as long as we understand that, then we won't make the mistake of matching ourselves up with the wrong person. And I think the air conditioning story is a very good one. And I've got a number of others. When I was at Queens, I worked in a tavern. And at the time there were a number of taverns that were looking for waiters. And I remember going and interviewing at a bunch of the taverns. And I picked the tap room, ye old tap room in Kingston. And when I came back to say I'd like to accept the job, and the person said to me, "Well, how did you decide to pick us?" And I said, "You had more crazy people on the waiting staff than anybody else. And you had more people that were happy about life than anybody else." And I said, "In the other places, they were just old and miserable. And they weren't really interested in having me there. And they saw me as a necessity as opposed to." And I said, "But I got a good vibe from everybody that worked here." And I said, "So that's why I came here." And, you know, I worked there for a couple of years and I loved it and I felt quite at home. And I say that to people, you should feel quite at home, right? It's not a function of, and I know sometimes people think, well, they don't have anybody like me over there. So, you know, there's probably an opportunity or need for me. And I always say to people, if they don't have somebody like you over there, there's a good reason they don't have somebody like you over there. They don't want someone like you over there. It doesn't mean that they won't take a risk and bring someone like you in. But at the end of the day, like the pearl and the oyster, you're going to get jettisoned at some point in time because you're an irritant. And I'm an irritant. I accept it full on. So I'm looking for people that are looking for an irritant. In fact, one of my clients invited me to an offsite. And he stood up and sort of said, you know, Jim's going to be here. And as he said, you know, Jim can be very irritating. And he said, and the reason that I have him here is to be an irritant. I want him to shake things up for us, right? It goes back to that sort of lens that I've talked about before, right? The lens of an irritant for someone who's looking for that is great. But for someone who doesn't want someone to be irritating, it's not. Understanding the kinds of people you work best with is really important. What's even more important, being able to spot the people that you don't work best with. And I've talked about that from the perspective that I pick my clients as much as my clients pick me. I do my homework. I understand that they get me, right? And if they're looking for somebody else in some other fashion, I'm not the person for them. So let me leave you with one last thought around that, and your homework for the week is I'd like you to sit down with a piece of paper. On the one side, I'd like you to write down all of the people in your life you have seamlessly worked with. School teachers, summer jobs, full-time jobs, different parts of the organization that aren't directly related to you. Make that list. On the other side of the piece of paper, make the list of people that, God, you'd never want to work with again. Not that they're bad people or anything else, but it was friction. It was just never comfortable. You'd walk into their office, you just didn't feel comfortable. You couldn't be yourself. And then I want you to scan those two lists, and I want you to sort of grab the characteristics of each of those people that is similar to each other, right? There has to be some core characteristic about them that makes it work with you, and understand what those things are. Now, those people won't all be the same, and they may all actually be quite different when you look at them, but they will have a core of them that will have something that makes it comfortable for you. Equally so on the other side. One of the great companies in the world was Macquarie, and 35 years ago, they did a study and they created this whole human resource database and testing model long before anybody did. And the CEO recognized there was something innate about a number of people in the organization, whether they be in investment banking, whether they be the janitor, whether they be the executive assistant, or whether they be someone on the front line or wherever. But there was something about certain people that just, they were above and beyond everybody else. And so they said there must be qualities that those people share, regardless of the fact of where they work, and they're not interchangeable. And so they began testing and developing a testing methodology around those people. And they used that for many, many years, and probably still do. And it got up, because I know I placed people there, and they were like 4-hour tests. And they were psychological testing to make sure that the people that they hired all had those core values, those core things that made them compatible with everyone else. And this is an organization that was on a skyline trajectory when they were hiring internally and bringing people directly in. And then they went off and started buying other companies. And the minute they started doing that, they diluted their talent pool. They weren't disciplined to stay to the same sort of model. So another example of why it's really, really important to understand the kind of people I work best with and the kind of people that I don't work well with, because you have to be able to spot it when you're doing the interview. Till next week, thanks everyone, and have a great week.